You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
All right, we've made it to the last hour on a Tuesday. Sharp Betting in the Morning. Whole gang is here. Shane's getting some love. Shane is taking cracks at people. Tell people, Shane comes with an agenda every day. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Shane's going to get in his bit.
Yeah, he's on a roll this
Shane
morning.
Shane's had a really good day.
He's doing all right.
Brian Christopherson from Husker 24/7, who very rarely has a bad day, except when he is stuck playing golf with yours truly, joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, yeah. That you probably already went over it on the air last week, but that was a tough beginning to the season for me.
Well, actually, he didn't. He was so he must not have played very well either, because he didn't have very many stories. He made it more about Brunson's prowess, and that was kind of the gist
difficulty
of, it,
of the course.
Was that Brunson is pretty sweet swinging?
Brunson is he's very solid. That was like I think his first time out this season, and you would have thought it was like his 10th. I think he shot like an 82 or something, but. I don't even want to get into our scores, what Gary and I had. But I think the story of the day was the wind. The wind just defeated us. It's like sort of the story of the last 2 months of living in this state. It's just like you go out and after a half hour, you're like, fine, you win wind. And that's basically what that round was.
Yeah, I can't wait for when we do our stag at Jim Egger in Lincoln. We'll be better.
that's probably more our speed, I think. But yeah.
Hey, we are now in the middle of May, and Nebraska's still working on their 22 roster. And we know what the schedule is. We've all gone through it. Now lines are being released. Your area where you thought was a weakness for Nebraska last season, whatever that was, do you think that they have fixed it in the offseason?
Top area that I think they fixed. Most optimistic in that regard is running back. I just think Brian Appleby was a really good hire under the surface, because you know I understand why all the attention goes to the other guys for fair reason, but sometimes Appleby doesn't get brought up as much in that crew of new coaches, and I think he got their attention right off the bat. I think in the spring. From everything we heard, and this is just what you hear, you don't see, but I think they were very encouraged with what Anthony Grant added to the table. Ramir is going to be, I think, just a consistent guy. He's going to know his stuff. And Jacquez Yant, if he can have a good summer and stay in the same condition he was in the spring, will have a say too. And, of course, they're very excited about A.J. Allen. So, I mean, really, when you add in Anthony Grant and A.J. Allen, and we always leave out Emmett Johnson, but I know he's got a chip on his shoulder when he gets here, that they have enough material there to get something going. Now, can they get a guy who goes from being just a solid running back to that one person who's like, he deserves to be second or third team, all Big Ten type of player? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have that yet, and that's still the big question to answer. But I feel a lot better about the depth at running back now than, like, at the end of last season, you're kind of like, okay, how's this going to shake out? Who's all going to transfer out? And instead, there were a lot of interesting parts that were brought in, and we're talking more about that than anybody leaving.
BC, I think you could make the case now, and I know they need the offensive line in order to, like, fully, like, meet the eye test. But, man, if you told me that room is the room that has made the most improvement since the new hires, I'm probably going to believe you. Like, the immediacy of the room culture and the coaching, I think, paid the quickest dividends in the running back room. Is that crazy? Is that sound? No. I'm saying that out loud.
Yeah.
That sounds like I probably think that in my heart of hearts.
Well, I think they have a coach who is – he carries the background of where he's come up through the ranks too with him, and I think that helps him. I was doing a recruiting thing with him, and he was talking about how when he goes out on the trail – this is Brian Applewhite – you know, he started his career at Northern Colorado and, you know, went through like Wyoming and Colorado State, and those are good programs, but he learned how to make the most of not always having – the most resources against some people he's going against. And you have to, if you're coming up that way for about 20 years, you got to really learn to connect with people with relationships and overcome some deficiencies that are facing you. And I think he still uses that. He said that, like he said, he still recruits, like, you know, like he's at Northern Colorado that first year where you got to, you really got to get in with people to another level to have a shot against some of your competitors. And I don't know, just his attitude is sort of, he's got, I don't know if chip on the shoulder is the right thing, but he's got a little bit of that sometimes.
Yeah.
He talks about how he's come up. And I think, you know, that probably plays well with the guys too. They can probably connect to their coach in that way.
Yeah, you can totally tell. Yeah, that's a great point. It's almost like he's never had it like, super easy. It's never been cushy for him. Like, he's all business. Like, I got that in the first 35 seconds of talking to him. Like, this guy's pretty buttoned up.
Yeah, he is. And you know what, though? Like, a guy like Mickey Joseph did the same thing. I remember Mickey a few months ago tweeting a pro coach who had that clip about how he had come up for like 20 or 30 years in coaching, not being at like big programs or in the NFL or any stuff like that, but how he was like mowing the lawn on high school fields and stuff like that. And if you look at Mickey's coaching resume, he spent about 20, 25 years, you know, coaching at places that didn't have the same resources. It was only like 2017 when he stepped into the Power Five with LSU.
Yeah.
And I think some of that stuff you pick up along the way that you have to do better, to sort of try to even things out with those who have a little bit more than you when it comes to recruiting and maybe even some of the coaching stuff, that can pay off. And so that, you know, Brian Applewhite's not the only coach on staff like that by any means, but that he was kind of talking with me about that last week, just his how he came up and how he kind of uses, you know, what he gained from those lessons at lower programs when he didn't have the big sweater on. And I could see where that could pay off for a guy.
Who do you think in his room is like his poster child of everything that you just described and your story up on 24/7 about Brian Applewhite in the recruiting and the evaluation and the development? I know he's only been here for a spring, but is there a guy that you think you'll be able to point to when the season is over and go, that's what it's supposed to look like when Brian Applewhite's running the running back room?
I don't know who it is yet for sure. I mean, I know, I think Ramirez is just going to be dependable. I count him as like, okay, you know, you're going to get something out of there. And then it's like, okay, who's that other guy amongst the ones we're talking about who over the summer and fall just really explodes and makes it, he just puts it in front of coaches like, you got to play me. You know, is there that guy? And I would just be guessing at this point to say who it is. I know, I mean, I like Anthony Grant's story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the fact that, I mean, it's a tough story in some ways, but it didn't go how he wanted at Florida State. You were at that big program. You got a taste of it, and it didn't happen. And then you had to kind of humble yourself and look at, okay, what do I got to do to make it back here? And then he ran for 1,700 yards. And, you know, I've said this before, I'm not comparing them as the way they run or anything, but there's a little bit of that Dedrick Mills quality there where it's like you get knocked down, Chumbawamba, and you get back up again, and here you are.
Nebraska. Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
Hit the bingo card.
That came into my brain right there, but it did. But I like his story. But, I mean, then you got a guy like Yant, and there's all sorts of guys who they've kind of had moments where it looked like their career wasn't going to go anywhere, and they're still here. And so that says that maybe you got the right sort of mindsets in that room. The fact that, you know, Jacquez Yant, I mean, if we want to have candid conversation, remember like last November, everybody's like, what, he's not going to Wisconsin, or he is, or is he off the roster? I mean, there was stuff like that being talked about. He's still here, and he came back to spring and was in the best shape of his life. So that told me that he's going to have something to say about this.
BC, toughest year for his coaching career, or chance to really validate the prowess? Coach Fisher trying to revamp that secondary after losing three starters.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the toughest or not, but it's certainly a challenge. While we can all get excited about some of the new faces, I think they have higher end like potential, but how quickly can they be like students of the game? How quickly can you trust those safeties? Are they going to be able to eliminate those explosive plays that I think we took that for granted maybe a little bit the last couple of years with Deontay Williams and Markell Dismuke? Maybe they weren't the most flashy players. But one thing about Nebraska's defense, you remember several years back, they had that defense where they're getting lit up with just explosions, you know, from the offense all the time. And that sort of has disappeared. I'm not saying it doesn't happen once in a while, but they did a much better job of keeping it the game in front of them. And that goes to having steady play on the back end of the defense. And so I love what Marquise Buford is about. I've been a fan of him since I interviewed him coming out of prep school, and I'm not shocked he's exactly where he is with a chance to start. And I think he's going to have a really good Nebraska career. The question is just how much does a guy like that, how far along in his knowledge is he on a game day against Oklahoma in comparison to what you had, you know, with 4 years built up basically in a Deontay or a Markell? And that's where Fisher comes in and really has to get those guys to understand, you know, all the ins and outs. But I think he likes the fact that he's got guys who are pretty eager learners. Tommy Hill is obviously an exciting talent, but now his challenge to Tommy Hill is learn it like Quinton. And his challenge to Quinton is, okay, now it's your time. You've been here kind of as a guy, as a starter for a year. You're supposed to be like Cam Taylor Britt now, you know? So they each have levels to sort of reach. And then Omar Brown to me is like a wild card that I think we shouldn't forget about if he can be healthy, because he had a really productive career at Northern Iowa. I don't know where that stands, but he's a guy that I thought was going to definitely shake up the two deep, and we'll see on that. And of course now, you know, Kane Williams arriving in a week, that's an interesting addition to the room. I guess that's part of your question, is how does a coach deal with that too? You bringing in a guy from Alabama suddenly here in May, you got to kind of finesse that a little bit and make sure everybody is operating as they should with a new guy coming in the room. But I do think they understand Fisher's always going to be a guy who says, if I can bring in a talented guy to try to push you out of your chair, I'm going to do it.
Do you think in that room, the most known commodity in Miles Farmer might have one of the bigger question marks?
I think the outside, the public attaches that to him. I think there's some belief in him inside the program, but yeah, he does have to answer the bell here. I think he was a little shaky, you know, when he sort of got his big opportunity last year, and because of that, that's probably why everybody's sort of like, I don't know about him, who else do we have? But you got to be careful with that, because some of the other guys we're talking about might have had the same struggles that Miles did, and it wasn't like it was terrible, but there were some things that you could tell that he just wasn't quite up to what they had in Deontay and Markell when he was out there. So yeah, he's got to now be that guy. He's got to be a leader. And I still think he's going to be a starter. But obviously you got a new face coming into the room now. Deshaun Singleton, is a very versatile player. Like he's a safety that they feel like can go in and cover like a corner at times too. So, I've always said, I think it was down to Buford and Farmer, maybe as you're 1-2 right now out of spring, with Singleton right there. And I don't know if that's the right read, but that's kind of how I had it. And now Kane Williams obviously throws an interesting piece into it. And I don't know. Noah Pulligates, maybe. I'm not sure if he's in that at that table or not. We'll see.
I'll be curious to watch Brett's too. Like, it's an interesting room. It's a lot going on, man. Like, Britt, Deontay Williams, and Dismuke were like steady Eddie. And, you know, Buford's got to make a change. Farmer's got to, he's got to come on. Tommy Hill shows, you know, flashes. Like, there's a ton of moving parts. Somebody's got to grab it.
And your true freshmen are probably a year away.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Kobe Brett's, though, because he's an example where sometimes a guy is a little injured during the spring, so you don't see one story on him, and you're kind of like, is he even on the team? That's like what a fan say on the outside. He's there. And
he was a guy that was dressing in year one.
Yes. And so a guy like – and he had incredible talent coming out of Westside. He was a great local player. So, if he can just – with him, it's just get a runway of good health. You know, if he can have that at his side yeah, he might very well have a say, or at least, you know, a guy like that, even if you're not up this year, if you start to work your way into some special teams and stuff like that and get yourself on travel rosters with that, I mean, that's the determining factor so often on if you get on the bus, it's the special teams part. And you do that, and then you're set up for that next season. So, yeah, Fisher's got all sorts of stuff going every which way, but it doesn't mean it's chaos. I mean, I think it's a good thing. He's got a lot of different options, and now you got to figure out how to work that room right and who gets the most cracks at it.
BC, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
No, well, okay.
Wait, you weren't done talking to him?
I was just going to say goodbye. I mean, we love BC.
I'm here.
He might still be here.
No problem. All right.
No, he's still here.
No, I appreciate the time. I like the Brian Applewhite column. I think people are falling in love with Brian Applewhite, who he is and what he means to this program.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. And I'm sorry if I sounded like I was abruptly saying goodbye.
No,
it wasn't because of your golf game lack or anything. We will get better and we'll get out there and fire some 70
We will do that.
BC, the best thing about that column is I told you guys I was afraid early on after I got back from the first junior day. Where I remember I go, I think I like him too much. It's too soon. Right? It's almost like you have those relationship fears. It's like, I better slow this down.
Well, jump into that relationship now, Dan, and make that commitment.
Yeah. Me and Coach Applewhite, man, I'm your biggest fan. All right, buddy.
Hey, thanks, BC. Right,
thanks, BC. I mean, you remember that? I was afraid to say it out loud. I was like, do I just want to like this guy or – I'm kind of blown away. I feel like I want to call him on the interstate.
Just think, there was a time when Nebraska was going to have a full-time guy as a running back coach.
Yeah, I know. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Yeah.
Because that was one of the – that would have been tough. We'd still be talking about that. We'd talk about that every single day if that was the case. You know how bad our golf game was? So we finished last week, and I tried to chip across a body of water and thought I had it, had enough – you know, just to get it over. Yeah, it went into the drink, and I had to walk across this footbridge. I didn't even have an extra ball to drop to finish out our final hole in our round. BC came to my rescue. He goes, "You need one, don't you?" Didn't want to say it out loud. That's how bad we were. That's okay. It was all about the camaraderie.
Oh, hanging man, out. You make me laugh.
Andy Kendi is coming up at here in about 20 minutes or so. Again, game one, Boston-Miami tonight. We also have hockey. Colorado and St. Louis, game one. Cale Makar is worth the price of admission or sitting down to watch your TV.
Can't wait!
This is the round.
Absolutely.
Colorado get past this round. They have been the last 3 years favorites. Four straight years, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL. But they have bowed out in the second round.
Bowed out.
But this is if... I mean, this would be even more of a massive disappointment because of the way the roster is, but is this the round they get past and on their way to winning a Stanley Cup? And then we get the Battle of the Sunshine State, Tampa Bay and Florida, where this round has a tendency to knock defending champs out. Once they get past one round, they're like, phew, they got past Toronto. Will they get past Florida?
Yeah, that's both Colorado and Florida, heavy faves tonight. Wow.
Well, it depends on what Bennington you're going to get in net for St. Louis, are you going to get the Stanley Cup run? Are you going to get the 3 games you played against the Wild? Or are you going to get the regular season guy?
Yeah.
Because that's a lethal team that's in Colorado. I like the Avs in 6. I like Tampa Bay in 7.
Give me Colorado in 5.
I just wish they could start the game later. I mean, 8:30? I mean, can you do a 9:30 or 10 o'clock? I mean, why not make it double digits? 8:30? Just saying. I mean, I sure would like to be able to get some sleep sometime. Did you know I'm going to be staying up all night listening to that?
I think the
and then I'm not going to be able to sleep afterwards, so what the hell? Make it like 10. You know, just make it like 2 o'clock in the morning so I can just...
Not go to bed?
So I can get up at that time, and then once it gets done, I'll just be right here working. Think about it. Think about the little guy.
Yeah. I think St. Louis is... They played every playoff game at 8:30, home and away.
Maybe in St.
I mean, they were
Louis.
Just, you know, in the central time zone with Minnesota. But yeah, I think every playoff game they played at 8:30. I don't know, some people like that. They put the kids in bed and you can just focus on watching the game.
You said what?
It's called West Coast baseball.
No.
You can put the kids in bed and you just watch the ball game.
No.
I spat.
I don't want to be watching sports like Calgary and Dallas up until like 11:40.
Over 300.
This time of the year with our sleep schedule and our show, you have to make some sacrifices. At least Dallas and Golden State, I think that's an 8 o'clock tip Central Time, so that's not bad. But taking care of all the morning show people.
So they can have Pat Bev back on?
He's on, by the way, on ESPN again today.
It is 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
So why the hell didn't I take this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off? I could have been up all night. I'm sitting around waiting for the NHL to release a schedule. I've been waiting for like 2 weeks. You know the Avs haven't played. You know they've got home ice advantage, so you know where they're playing at. You know they're going to be playing some team from the other, the bracket underneath them, whether it be Minnesota or the Stars. So why don't you just give me some times? Not the Stars, but the Blues. Why don't you just give me a time? You know, get some days in there so I could have planned this out. And I blame the NHL for this.
Have you ever called a sports talk show?
Don't do it, Shane. That's how I wound up here.
You don't want me to, do you? I mean, would I just be not? I probably wouldn't be very good.
I mean, they know who you were here.
Why don't you just give it? You know what? You should be Raider Shane.
Raider Shane?
Yeah.
Why don't you call the shows in Lincoln?
Raider
Shane. They don't know your voice down there.
Called 93.7 that's the one, right? The ticket.
See, this is Raider Shane.
Or 1480. What's their one?
Chris Schmidt in the afternoons.
Yeah, well, let's do that one. Call Schmidt.
Can I do it, like, when we're on the air and just, you know?
Yeah, be Raider Shane. Schmidt.
See if Sybil knows who I am.
I don't know. They haven't. They probably wouldn't recognize. Well,
tell them you want to know why the Saints or why the Raiders and the Steelers are playing on Christmas Eve.
Oh, don't even get me into that.
By the way, Coach K, this just came out. 2020, $13.7 million in compensation from Duke.
Wow. Seems like a lot.
It does.
13.7
million in 2020.
Well, I certainly didn't think it was, 13, like the real actual decimal point, $13.17. Dude said millions. Like, what else would it be?
Duke got such a break. They had their coaches working for $13.70.
Yeah, $137,000, man.
$9.30
right per game.
Sharp and betting in the morning. Quick reminder, today is the start of Do Good Days. Today is Give on Tuesday, where you can make donations to a nonprofit to better your community. The Do Good Days go today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
I need to give myself a Do Good t-shirt. What I need you to do, I need you to do good. Hey, do gooder.
Do it.
Or do more good.
Maybe don't walk into that school you frequent with. Do gooder.
Do gooder?
Do gooder. Somebody may stop you.
Good on good.
And they're like, boy,
there you go with the change in inflection.
Where did you go to your print shop?
First of all, somebody's getting the taste slapped out of their mouth if they called me boy like that.
It's a trap.
Just going to go ahead and put that out there.
Your print shop is doing it wrong.
Whose impersonation is that?
That's security guard at the school you frequent.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Or he's more like, what's that shirt?
Oh, there you go. Boy, I tell you.
Let's talk about August.
Let's talk about overt.
Let's talk about our two deep at nickel.
Now, that's actually going to be interesting. We could have that conversation.
Sharp and Betting in the morning at 1620 The Zone.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.